High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit highfivecasino.com. That's high, the number 5, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
David McWilliams, good morning.
Anton, how are you?
I am good to talk to you. And you. Now, the reason David McWilliams is with us is because it is 75 days into one of the most economically tumultuous periods of an American administration that we have ever seen. Can I ask you, David, there is a sort of a forming consensus that says that it is daft, that it is economic madness, that it's all inconceived. It may be obnoxious, but is it also effective?
Well, effective, I'm not too sure, Anton. It's interesting. When I was a kid in the 1970s, there was a factory in Sallynoggin in South Dublin that produced televisions, Pi televisions, and Waltham 3-in-1 stereos. And the reason I say this is I want to bring your listeners back to Ireland in the 1970s. And the image came into my head about 5 or 6 days ago when I was listening to the Commerce Secretary, a guy called Howard Lutnick, who is Trump's man about commerce, industry, manufacturing, etc. And he was lamenting the fact that America had lost sneakers, T-shirts, towels, and televisions, and that in the great Trumpian world, America would once again make runners, televisions, towels, and T-shirts. Now, as an economist, the holy grail of economics, Anton, is what they call moving up the value chain. So you really want to be making semiconductors, not sneakers, right? You really don't want to be in the business of transistor radios, televisions, 3-in-1 stereos, etc. That is what very poor countries make. Why? Because they are very low grade production process.
Now, but hang on a minute, David. Let me ask you that.
So I'm just saying. So if Lutnick's worldview and Trump's worldview is to go back to that, then it suggests in my head that their image of Americans' economy is based on nostalgia, and a nostalgia for a bygone age, and that bygone age may be the 70s or maybe the 1960s or whenever the Americans were making sneakers.
But let me posit a counter theory
for a long time.
Okay, let me posit a counter theory, which is that it is easy to sell to the masses that nostalgia of sneakers and TVs, and that they can latch on to that, and that that is red meat to the carnivorous MAGA voter. But that actually what they're trying to do is burst apart the established norms of trade agreements across the world. And the easiest way to do that is start with a bit of shock and awe, force everybody to the table and get better deals.
The amazing thing is, Anton, what I've listened to in the last 75 days has promises morphed into excuses, right? Okay, so the promises will make America great again. We're going to do the Dibble. We're going to have amazing time for Wall Street, mergers and acquisitions. It's going to be the best thing ever, right? Now what I hear is exactly the logic you're saying, which is kind of excuses. Well, in actual fact, if you look at it this way, maybe there's a logic behind it, etc. Look, what we have is chaos, Anton. What we have is an administration that, let's start in terms of the great global ideas. It has torn up the rule book of the last 70 years, certainly 50 years, a period when America actually has done extremely well. America has remained the preeminent power. It has remained the most muscular economy. It is the most powerful country, etc., etc. So in a way, what the Americans are doing, or what this administration is doing, is it is tearing up agreements it signed itself in order to position itself as the number one country. That's the first thing. The second thing is in Europe, as we know, ever since, let's say, the Berlin airlift, 1948, there has been the presumption, there has been the assumption, and there has been the reality of American protection of Western Europe, Russia being the enemy. So if you look at all of our European initiatives since the 1948 Berlin airlift, they've all occurred under the umbrella of American military protection. So that's the coal and steel arrangement in 1957, the beginning of the EU, the EEC, but older Irish listeners will remember Ireland joined in 1973, the single market 1992, German unification in and around the same time. All of this occurred, and the expansion of the EU into Poland, Lithuania, etc. This all happened under the protective umbrella of the Americans. That's not gone, Anton.
But David, I put to you that what Trump is actually doing is, and what the administration is doing is, they are saying that this global shift towards the BRIC countries, towards the Brazil, Russia, India and China, rather than America being left out in the cold, they're going to abandon Europe and get into bed with the lot of them. And that all we're seeing is a little bit of softening in the markets because of volatility and unpredictability around some of these policies. But we're sure as hell not back at 2008. We're sure as hell not back at a Black Monday, and everything will be grand.
I disagree. I think there's a mass extinction event on the horizon, which will make 2008 look like a walk in the park. And that is the following. You have, since the pandemic, a phenomenal amount of American capital has gone into what were called the unicorns. Remember these rather mythical characters? These are these huge tech companies in Silicon Valley, which were going to be worth more than $1 billion. And all they needed to have was an investor that was going to come out and buy them all up when times were good. I've just come from speaking at a conference in England, and this was the people in the audience were what they call M&A, mergers and acquisitions, bankers, professionals. They've said their business has fallen off a cliff. Why? Because business needs, more than anything else, is stability. They need what they call transparency and visibility, like the idea that, you know, if we invest today, we have a fairly good idea in 2 years' time what our prices will be, what our markets will be, etc. The United States has just declared war on its four major trade partners. The Canadians, its number one trading partner. The Europeans, its number two. The Chinese, its number three. And the Mexicans, its number four. Now, in that world, you may well say, Anton, that we're breaking things in order to build things up, we're creating chaos in order to blindside our opposition, etc. But real American business requires a certain amount of stability and a certain amount of certainty. And okay. I cannot see any economic logic in this short-term chaos in order to create long-term beneficial, let's say, an America that is isolated but is unbelievably powerful, that is independent and has turned in on itself, but its citizens have been greatly empowered and enriched. I don't see how this works.
Well, then explain the bit, because taking your analysis, the thing that's difficult to understand then is how you can have people around the administration who are successful economists, who are themselves big business. I mean, Wilbur Ross, former Bank of Ireland owner, with previous Commerce Secretary himself, a self-made billionaire. You have the richest man in the world as part of the administration. You have all of the Republican machine of economic analysis and planning. How, if all of those have the ear of the president, how is he not deafened by a clamour of people saying what you're saying, which is that this is counterproductive?
Because we're not dealing with logic here. We're dealing with ideology. We're not dealing with rationality here. We're dealing with a worldview. I might think it's invented, but for them it's real. And that worldview is a 19th century worldview. So Donald Trump has said that his most prized example of a great president is a guy called William McKinley. Now, William McKinley was the president of the United States from 1896 to 1901, when he was actually assassinated in his second term. His parents come from Dervock, County Antrim, which, if people up that part of the world know, is a very, very small village, full of what would be described as Ulster Scots people. And McKinley was called the Napoleon of tariffs, right? And his basic idea was that we can switch our entire tax base to tariffs. We can build up American industry behind the protection of tariffs. And then once we have done that, we will then become a free trading country. He also started small-scale wars in Cuba, in Guam, in Philippines. And interestingly, he was the man who actually started the building of the Panama Canal, something that Mr. Trump is obsessed by. He also was supported by the two major oligarchs. You mentioned the richest man in the world. The richest man in the world at the time was J.D. Rockefeller, who was McKinley's main sponsor, and J.P. Morgan, the banker, who you can describe Howard Lutnick as the head of one of the largest banks in the United States, as maybe being broadly analogous to. And he was the first man to introduce campaign finance lobbying with a guy called Mark Hanna. So all this is the Trump logic. So you said to me, is there a logic? There kind of is, Anton. And it'd be stupid not to understand the provenance and the origin story of Trump economics, which is what's called mercantilism in economics, which is the philosophy that largely drove the empires, the Elizabethan Empire, the French Empire, the Spanish Empire. And the idea was that you export more than you import. And why do you export more than you import? Because you want to acquire gold. And you want to acquire gold from other people. And why do you want to acquire gold? Because you need gold to pay soldiers for wars, right? So that was, by and large, the economics of the 18th and 17th and late 19th century. Now, that's where he wants to go back to. So I get what you're saying, Anton. There is a logic, right? But that was a world of absolute imperialism, of colonialism, and a world where the top guy sat in the front of the bus and instructed everybody what to do.
Okay, so well, if that's the origin story...
That's the origin story.
If that's the origin story of the ideology, what's the epilogue? Where are we heading?
Look, we're heading into a world... I think for Europeans, it's very, very clear. We are heading... What Donald Trump has done, more than anything else, is he's actually emboldened a Make Europe Great Again movement, which... will start in Germany. Germany is now being reawakened for the first time since the Second World War. Germany is about to spend, and last night they pushed this through a deal between the CDU and the Greens, close to €1 trillion in the next 5 to 10 years. To put that into context, German GDP is about €4.5 trillion. So the Germans are going to spend about 20% of their GDP over the next 5 to 10 years on armaments and infrastructure. That means that in Europe, the entire axis of gravity will shift to Berlin. That is something that we have not seen since the Second World War. Germany now becomes the custodian of Eastern Europe. It becomes the main financier of Ukraine. And I think once there is a ceasefire, which could be as easy as this, or as early as this week, in Riyadh, it could well be signed this week, Ukraine will be turned into a fortress on the eastern side of Europe against Russia. This is a totally new world for us because we, Anton, as Irish people, English speakers, are brought up with the Atlanticist world, where in actual fact, we're going to halfway between America and Europe and we can play the game. And we tried to do that and we've done it very successfully the last 40 years. That's over. So here's where we're going as Europeans. We're going into a Germanic world, not because the Germans want to, but because they have been forced into making a choice that they have avoided making since the late 1940s.
Well, let me ask you two things off the back of that then, David. One is, are you frightened, concerned, scared by the prospect of what you are predicting? And secondly, what do you believe the chances are that if there is a reversal of American political opinion in the next election, that there may be a commensurate reversal in American economic policy?
Well, I suppose what you're asking me is America a democracy? That's what you're asking the question, right? Is that democracy something that will, at the ballot box, change? I think, yes, it is. But I do think that we are in a moment. I think the last time we spoke, Anton, I talked to you about this notion of super cycles, that the world kind of operates in these, you know, we talk about the business cycle and that's kind of short term and et cetera, et cetera. But then these kind of super cycles, which are philosophical, political, economic, geostrategic, that the world kind of shifts on its axis. And obviously one of those is after the Second World War, where you get a total change in the way the world was governed and the way the UN was set up, the World Trade Organization, the IMF, the Bretton Woods system. These are all the sort of institutional architecture that we have lived under all our lives. We are moving into something, and I think you're right to say that, that is breaking that down. And I'm not sure that America will ever be what they would describe as the arsenal of democracy as they were for the last 40 or 50 years. I don't think they will do that again. I think they will get used to being slightly semi-detached. Don't forget that there is one thing that the Trumpians are right about. America is the only self-sufficient large country in the world, in the sense that it has its own energy, has its own food. It is divided by two very large oceans, so it can never be attacked. And it has its own internal economic dynamism. That cannot be said for China. China is entirely energy dependent. Okay, China has absolutely, except coal and nuclear, no natural resources, which is why it is cozying up to Russia. It can't be said the same of Europe, because Europe, as we know only too well, has a land border with Russia, so we don't have the luxury of isolating ourselves. The Americans can do what Trump wants. And that is, I suppose, where you're going with your questioning. It can do this. But if it does do that, it means that the world that we, you and I and all your listeners, have been brought up in and are frankly maybe expecting for our children is not the world that is now. And it's a world that is going to change profoundly.
High Five Casino is the top choice for social casino gaming that's free to play. With chances to win and redeem for real cash prizes, free spin rewards, and tons of exclusive games, you can experience more High Five moments than ever before. You're going to want to high five everyone, the neighbors, the mailman, all your coworkers, of course your friends. Well, you get the point. Your High Five moment awaits at highfivecasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.